Prisoner at the bar, you are accused of driving a 4-ton articulated lorry under the influence of drink, refusing to take a blood test, using foul and profane language, and causing grievous bodily harm to 4 police officers. To wit, beating them about the face and head with your bare fists. How do you plead?
Guilty, my lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Joan Sims in...
Nah, stop messing about. Welcome. Now, I must tell you, they had given me a very naughty line to start the show with, but I said, no, I'm adamant. And I whipped it out, all quick as a flash. Yes. Oh, I got busy with my little blue pencil and erased it from the script, because all I want to say is that it's lovely to be back.
Excuse me.
Please, you, please. Can't you see I'm pontificating? I'm throbbing.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt your flow, but I just wondered, have you noticed anything funny about Joan?
Yes, but it's not the sort of thing you talk about in public.
No. I mean, this morning she was acting strangely.
Mm?
I think she's in...
She's not!
She's in love.
In love?
With me.
With you? Mm. With you? Oh, no, you're not exactly love's young dream, dear, are you? Standing there in your tweed acting jacket with your carnation gone all droopy.
She is, I tell you.
Rabbit.
Boys, hello,
oh.
Kenny.
Oh.
Hello, Hugh.
Oh, dear, it's true.
Hugh, dear, I hope you don't mind. I've brought you a little present.
Oh, Joan, how sweet. I've always wanted a brown paper bag.
Good, there's another present inside it as well, and there's a card.
Let's see. Mm. Roses are red, violets are blue, but I think that you are the loveliest Hugh.
Oh, mind boggles. Oh, look, get on and open it. Get it over with.
I made it for you myself.
Oh, Joan, it's a pullover. You knit.
Pardon?
A lovely Fair Isle pullover.
Fair Isle pullovers went out in 1952.
Not in Fair Isle, they didn't. That's typical of you, always knocking. That's all you ever do. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ignore. Joan, ignore. I mean, just being facetious. He doesn't understand.
Oh, Hugh.
Oh, Joan. Oh, dear.
I can't stand any more of this. Come on, Douglas, come on. Get me out of this with one of your unsentimental, crisp, down-to-earth announcements.
War and peace. Episode 480. Food is so short during the siege of Moscow that Natasha is thinking of selling her...
Oh, he's off. Yes.
Mr. Williams is understandably bitter, having failed the audition for the part of Natasha.
Oh, that's a lie! Don't listen to the lie. I was given a my Napoleon.
In a blonde wig?
It wasn't a wig. It wasn't a wig at all. It was a fur hat.
Douglas, weren't you about to announce something?
Oh, very well. Speaking of war and peace...
Oh, shut up. Give yourself a plug.
Brings me to the threatened walkout of female Swiss roll operatives at the Happy Bun Bakery Bootle. Our roving correspondent, Frank Spongecastle, has been taking a look at things up there. Frank, what's your opinion of the situation, in a nutshell?
I'm healthy.
I imagine you mean all is not well in the Swiss roll.
Oh, well, not well. Not at all. I mean, I'm all in the same job, same bed. You can't have jam on both sides, can you?
Certainly not. You'd end up in a very messy Swiss roll.
I'm Russian band. I want the Russian band. Even here, I'm talking about girls who make them.
About what?
The position of female hands in bottles.
I don't think we want to go into it.
Well, that's an old thing. All the conscience.
To sum up, Frank, what lies ahead of these girls who have staked all on a Swiss roll?
Yeah,
I see. Well, thank you very much for that.
I'm very happy because better done by hand.
Quite, yes.
Take the bakewell tart.
I'd rather not. It's bad manners to ask for the last fall. Thank you, Frank Swanscastle.
I don't understand a single word I'm saying. I'm a blithering idiot.
Next week, we shall be hearing how the pill has hit the plastic gnome industry. Speaking of plastic gnomes, it's Crackerjack and Ori with Mother Time. And tripping across the studio in her magic galoshes, here comes Madcap Maud Nethersole.
Hello, Tinies, and Biggies too. I wonder how many of you know where Bangkok is. It's in a land far away where they do everything from right to left. Well, practically everything. And that's where today's story comes from. Long ago, there was an emperor with a weakness for wine, women, and bean shoots. He lived in the palace of 1,000 winds, and his other problem was that he had no son to carry on his line. So he summoned his wives and said, "Plang Fu Ping," which means, "Why have I hundreds of daughters and no son? See, the end of my dynasty is in sight." And all the wives averted their eyes in shame, except the head wife, her of the tiny feet and big everything else. And she said, "Wang Fing Tong," which means, "Why not consult the wise man in the marketplace? He will reveal all, and often does, if you make it worth his while." So the emperor sent him a message saying, "I have no heir, please advise." And a message came back, "Try massaging the scalp with camel fat." But that very evening, the emperor heard one of his children saying, which means, "Why do they call me Mimi when my name is really Fred?" So instead of christening the child Madam Butterfly, they called him Fred Moth. And the emperor celebrated by throwing a huge banquet of leftover boiled camel and crispy noodles, and everyone was delighted, except the wise man who got the hump. And now it's time for our song. Here's one from the Paddy Field songbook. He was an Irish missionary, much given to singing. Have a glass of rice wine beneath the almond tree. Rice wine is a nice wine and has more cake than tea. And we'll be very merry, you and me. Bring another bottle and pour another glass. We'll talk of Aristotle and watch the seasons pass. Pardon. And be careful or you'll fall, dear, flat on the grass. When the wine is finished, we'll dance around the tree. High spirits undiminished, they're lovely at me. Come and sing Sweet Nelly Dean in Japanese.
Now it's time for the Smith Report.
Ah, that should go with a bang.
May I have a fanfare, please?
And you can't ask for a fairer fan than that.
Good evening. First, a close look at this week's main topic, the population explosion. What does the man in the street have to say?
Cool! You parked your car on my bleeding foot.
I meant about the population explosion.
Well, you know, I've heard a lot about it, but I've never actually seen a member of the population actually explode. Can't say I've exactly been going around looking for it in my day, but I do think I'd have noticed if anyone had gone bang right in front of me.
A population explosion? Well, I like the lead singer, but I can't stand that fella on the bass guitar. He's too much of an exhibitionist, always showing his teeth and flashing his plectrum all over the place.
No, I was talking about the rising birth rate.
Oh, I see. Well, why didn't you say so? Now, they are a lovely group.
Well, it's the irresponsible youth of today. That's the cause of it. And I've got one thing against their permissive society.
What's that?
They won't let me become a member.
So much for the opinions of the average man. But we decided that this subject was so important that it rated the opinions of one of the world's greatest experts on the subject of breeding, who is here now in the studio.
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
Now, sir, you are, I believe, a rabbit.
That's right, Doc. I'm a rabbit. Have a carrot.
No, thanks, I don't.
Oh, come on. Put it behind your ear for later. Now, as I see it, Doc, you've got no population problem. Compared to us rabbits, you humans are just a lot of lousy breeders. If you'll pardon the expression. Take my wife and I.
Oh, you're married?
Yes, I met her at the Playboy Club. She was a funny girl. The other day, the two of us are being chased across a field by a pack of hounds. Do you know what we did?
No, what?
We went down this hole, waited 10 minutes, and then came back and surrounded them.
Can the population explosion ever be controlled while our permissive society continues to titillate our sexual phagocytes? Now, these days, sex is everywhere. In advertising, for example.
A million housewives every day pick up a man.
Oh, should be ashamed of themselves.
There's also a sexual influence in television drama. Now, take this excerpt from a recent Wednesday play.
Oh, Miriam. Miriam.
Charles. Charles.
Miriam.
Oh, Charles.
Oh. Oh, Miriam. I told you we should have taken the lift.
We come now to Problem Corner. For those of you who enjoy a good cry, here is our Problem Man of the Week.
My name is Clarence J. Mouth, partner.
And what's your other problem?
Recently, after attending a rally at Trafalgar Square, I noticed that I was leaning to the left due to a shift in the centre of my gravity, which caused my lady wife to remark, "It's like walking home with a leaning tower of Pisa."
How very hurt.
Yes, it was. And now she won't be seen out with me.
But if she leaned to the right, then together you'd look like the Arc de Triomphe.
Now, my leaning has got so acute that I have to walk with one foot in the gutter. Otherwise, I fall over sideways.
Supposing there isn't a gutter?
Well, then I have to hop. That's ruining my career.
Oh, what's that?
I'm a long-distance runner.
Couldn't you become a long-distance hopper?
No, I couldn't, no. I have decided to take up mountaineering instead.
Very sensible.
Yes, I thought so.
Of course, you realise you'll have to climb every mountain sideways.
Yes, that's all right, providing a mountain is facing the right way. So I have bought some rope and provisions and a little tent, and I've put them in a rucksack, and now I've got another little problem.
Oh, dear, what's that?
Well, when I'm wearing the rucksack,
yes,
I lean backwards.
Time now for our song spot. gives me not a little pride and not a lot of pleasure to introduce the Maxie Length Harris Male Voice Choir.
It's Bona to open up your ear and sing.
It's Bona to hear the homey voices ring.
Of male voice choirs.
Surely in your case, male voice choir is a bit of a misnomer.
Oh, Miss Crisple, straight out of the starch bucket.
I mean, there's only two of you.
Oh, there you are, he's noticed.
I got told blind, you know.
I told you we couldn't handle all the parts between us.
What? Repertoire. With repertoire the size of mine, love, anything is possible.
Miss Clever Clogs.
Here, watch it.
And what happened at Covent Garden when you took on the Meister Singers single-handed? Lost your voice, didn't you?
Yes. That one all I lost either.
No.
Excuse me.
Oh, you're still with us?
More or less. And I'd like to know what you're going to sing.
Well, how do you feel about a nice little bit of Cosy Van Tutti?
Distinctly lukewarm.
No, suit yourself. Oh, I know, though, here. What about the transformation theme from Boris Goudenou?
Oh, no, I'm not up to it, love. No, I'm not. Not chat, no. It takes a lot out of you, does Boris?
Darwin! Force yourself.
No.
Go on. I've told you before, you want to brace yourself during... You does. Brace yourself during the till ready.
Yes. That's all very well, but there isn't any till ready with Boris. It's a quick B flat and you're off.
Haven't you anything from the top ten?
Top ten!
Oh, we don't sing pops, love.
Nothing.
Me and my friend are strictly of a classical bent, aren't we?
Strictly, and we don't care who knows it.
That's lucky.
Yeah.
Everything from Schubert's Lieder to opera Poof.
Boof! Opera Poof! Not your great Nana.
Watch it. How about a quick snatch of Tchaikovsky?
Oh, Fantabulovsky. Yes. Let's give him our Swan Lake.
Oh, well, all right, but don't get out of your depth.
No, don't you worry yourself. Although we know every single note of all the things that Tchaikovsky wrote, we are going to take
a very pretty thing.
It is Swan Lake.
It's difficult to sing. It tells the tale of a fair princess who got herself in a nasty mess. You may have heard
she altered overnight
into a bird,
which gave her such a fright. But then one day there came along a prince to shoot some duck. He saw the princess swimming on the lake and thought she was a drake, a natural mistake.
Until his friend who'd come along as well said, no such luck. What self-respecting drake do you suppose would waddle on his toes unless he's one of those?
Octopus, but not his trifle weak.
They dance a lot, but they never speak.
But all the same,
the lallies are a dream.
Look as you came.
You can say you've seen Swan Lake.
So we come to our feature, Feeble Fables, stories with a moral.
Oh, good. There's one thing I like, it's immoral stories.
I said a moral. Could we have the Feeble Fable music, please?
Glut Bucket. And my story starts in the middle of an ocean almost anywhere.
I say, can't you be more specific?
All right, then. The specific ocean.
One of those sort of sketches, is it?
I had been a passenger on the ocean liner SS Dean Martin, a tight little ship. And that evening, we had had dinner, dancing, and a shipwreck, which was why I found myself alone on a raft. Alone. All alone, except for my two male companions. One was a tall, handsome, strapping guards officer, and the other one wasn't.
It's no good. It's no good, I tell you. We can't go on. There's not enough food for the three of us. One of us will have to dive overboard.
Major, I'm a woman.
That's a good enough reason.
No. Got to be one of us chaps. And we shall decide which one of us chaps in the traditional manner that I learned at Eton. It is a method that reflects all that is best in the public school system.
You mean we cast lots?
No, I push you overboard.
I screamed, and as the raft pulled away, I floundered and splashed, fighting for my very life until finally I drowned. Almost. A piece of wood drifted past, marked driftwood. And I clung to it tenaciously. Meanwhile, on a nearby desert island...
Don't show you're afraid, Ariadne. This man can only be the native chief.
Me on Popo.
No, please don't get up.
You shall die for breaking the sacred rule that binds all subjects of On Popo.
But what have we done?
You did that old joke about please don't get up.
Oh, honest, I'm sick of it. Every time I say me on Popo, someone just has to say it. Honestly, it gets on your nerves. Well, I mean, it's all the time. Every day. And if a man can only stand so much. So what was I doing?
Milking the joke, dear.
You shall die.
Major Putfoot, quickly. Show him what you've got hidden under your long plastic neck.
Oh, you mean my photograph. Yes, they'll think that's magic, all right. Chief On Popo, being a shipwrecked Englishman, I naturally have concealed about my person a gramophone and 8 carefully selected gramophone records.
Kinky.
Watch carefully. I turn this handle, place this arm upon the revolving disc and...
Please release me, let me go.
He does indeed bring magic inside that tiny box he carries in his hand he has concealed. Engelbert Humperdinck.
Impressed by my magic, the incredulous natives made me king of the island and Ariadne my queen. They built us a house of grass, except for the smallest room, which was weed. Honey, I still don't understand that line. We lived comfortably, happily, until one day...
If you're the dustman, we've already got some.
Oh, yeah, don't you remember me?
Yeah, long time no see.
Hello, boy. Come in, bring your coat out.
My word, what a lovely place you got here.
Yes, the natives built it for us, actually. It's made entirely of grass.
Grass? Yep. Oh, with every mud con, you even got wall-to-wall lawn.
This is the lounge. Here's the split-level dining room. Ooh. Billiard room, and this is the nursery.
Oh, you haven't got any children.
No, we've been very lucky so far.
Look here, as I'm king and she's queen, you'd better have a title too. Come upstairs and get knighted.
Oh, I beg your pardon?
Knighted in the attic.
Oh.
That's where we store the royal thrones between state occasions.
Yes, they're made of solid concrete, you see, and very uncomfortable.
Yes, Ariadne kept complaining that her seat was stone cold.
Who's there?
Yes, the sound effects man. He's been eating radishes again.
It's not him, it's the attic floor. The thrones have weighed it down. Look out, we'll all be killed.
And the moral of this week's story is people who live in grass houses shouldn't stow thrones.
That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Miles Rudge and David Cumming and Derek Collier. The producer was John Simmons.